Final hour of the show on 104.5 The Zone. Happy Father's Day weekend to all the dads out there. Whether you're wearing a daddy hat this weekend or whether you are cheering on Kamar Rocker, it doesn't matter. Celebrate. Go grill a little bit. Who needs a shirt while you do it? Alongside Lucas Panzeca, I'm Will Bowling, filling in for Blaine and Mickey. A very well-deserved day off today. Lucas, halfway there. Show's flying by. We have covered, look, there's no other show in sports talk radio today that has covered in 1 hour college baseball, college football, a little bit of NFL sprinkled in there, and Euro 2020.
Yes.
I think I can safely say that.
The latter there puts us in a very specific category. And Joe Hunk, we have photo evidence
college
now.
Baseball also. There's not a lot of people talking college baseball right now as much as
we have. Farsender kindly sent a screenshot of us on his desktop computer as he's watching the Twitch stream. We appreciate you, Farsender. So we have photo evidence of Joe Hunk watching soccer, looking up at the TV screen, which I imagine is still on ESPN.
Hold on,
in there.
Let me look. It is still on ESPN because I have it.
Joe, you're evolving.
I'm looking at this now because I've seen the picture.
So blackmail material for Joe Hunk right there. And I promise I'm not as pissed as I look in this picture. This is something I need to work
on. Thank God.
Because this is not the first time that I've been told this. Nick Cale popped in the chat last time.
Yeah, he did.
We did this, Will, on Memorial
Day.
Say you look disgusted.
It looks like you're trying to.
It's me.
It's like you're trying to model for your, like you're studying intensely.
I'm the problem here.
Lebowski said, you've got that what if I just clock out at lunch and don't come back 1,000-yard stare. It is a 1,000-yard stare. So I'm working that.
Actually,
Cornbread says, dreamy he could just watch the soccer match. You might be right about that, too, because we have it up here, but I have to crane my neck.
Yeah, it is.
This is not the most desirable spot in the studio for watching this game.
I have no explanation for the look. I know I was looking at the television. I can't. My eyes aren't even closed. Like, I can't even just say that it's a prayer that the soccer conversation would end.
What did you think about England's fullback selection for this Euro 2020 squad, Joe?
Your thoughts on Calvin Phillips making the signing of the number six?
They're going to be really good when they pound the line of scrimmage. And
you think they switch formation with the ball? Is it a back three without the ball?
They're going to open up the hole, and their running back is going to be able to get really through there. I know zero about soccer. I even purchased the FIFA video game thinking that it would teach me something. I played it for probably an entire month and scored one goal.
Tell you what, is actually, in all seriousness, that's the way that so many people age have gotten into the game. It's the way in 06 I originally got into the game after watching the World Cup for the first time.
It's the way that I learned
I got
how
FIFA
hockey,
06.
Yeah, it's the way I learned how to play hockey. I was playing NHL 94.
Later on in the show, which I say later on in the show, we're in the final hour of the show. Later on, Lucas, if you're down for this, let's give Joe, we're going to do Soccer 101 with Joe Hunk.
Okay.
So Lucas and I are going to give you terms, and I want you to explain what you think it means.
Oh, that's good.
It's like the guy who shows his dad, who knows nothing about the NFL logos, and the guy has to, like, guess what they are. And, like, I think the Titans was, like, flaming thumbtacks. Like, Eagles were, like, Angry Birds.
There were multiple
Ravens.
Angry Birds.
More Angry Birds.
The best one of that whole video was when he showed him the Jets. He said, that's not the Jets. And then it just said, not the Jets, under where the logo spells out the word Jets.
All right.
But that's like me trying to show football to any of my extended family. Because they're like, what the hell is happening here? The first downs, the line of scrimmage, everything about it, the flags, it's very confusing for people.
I'm game for this. I'm game because I will shock myself if I get one correct.
Can we get like some game show music? Like, can you find that in this segment and then like the end of the next segment?
Yeah, my head's already swimming.
We play some game show music and we're going to give Joe the mic, and Lucas and I are just going to say like two words. And you get 30 seconds to explain what you think it means. Let's do that at the end of the next segment.
This.
All right. In the meantime, we can't goof off.
Let's not drive our entire audience
for too much longer. No, I think that's good.
Blaine and Mickey gonna be like, "What happened?"
No, I mean, if there's any way that we're gonna talk any kind of soccer and not just have ratings tank, that's the way we're gonna do it. Is what Joe Hunk thinks is happening in soccer? Because odds are, about 90% of our audience is gonna have the same guess and think the same thing. Anyway. In college football today, Lucas, college football is really good at using a lot of words to say nothing and proclaim nothing.
Yeah, like Joe's update, which he very, very astutely read.
Joe Hunk not using words to say nothing.
Yeah,
Joe Hunk saying things. college like football.
Joe, could you read that blurb again with the college football playoff about what they're...
The college football playoff committee basically met today and said, we are going to continue to research everything.
To research.
That's it. I mean, it's... Bill Hancock had a teleconference today that was probably 30 to 45 minutes long, and I had people that texted me that said, this man said nothing for 45 minutes.
So let's hear the cut of the audio that we have. We've boiled down all this to like, what, 30 seconds to a minute. You're not going to hear much here, but in order to start the conversation, here's what we've got from Bill Hancock of the College Football Playoff Committee about moving forward, thinking about maybe researching the idea of possibly having a 12-team playoff.
The management committee met over the last 24 hours. With some sleep time in there, plenty of sleep time. They thoroughly examined the recommendation from the working group, and the process will move forward. We said this is just a beginning, and it is very much just a beginning of a process that will not conclude before September. At next week's Board of Managers meeting, the management committee will ask the board to authorize the solicitation of feedback over the next several weeks and months with constituent groups that are important to college football, and those are expected to include student athletes, presidents, coaches, athletic directors, and others. And they will review with them the details of the proposal, which is, remember, still only a proposal, and also begin feasibility assessments of the new format.
All right, so let's count the different bodies of people.
Yeah,
Bill Hancock. So we have a working group. That's one. We have the committee,
multiple
college football playoff committee. Oh, trust me, I've been writing, I've been taking notes. So we have two, just the college football playoff committee. Then we have the board of managers, the management committee, the constituent groups, athletes, presidents, coaches, athletic directors, and others. That's 10 different groups of people who you are putting out there as making this decision, when in reality, the people making this decision are the SEC, ESPN, and you.
Whoa, no. He specifically said ESPN was not involved. Look, he was really asked about that, and he basically goes, no, they had nothing to do with this. Liar.
Yeah, in reality, there's
in my opinion,
5% of those groups he mentioned are the ones actually making this decision. Whatever.
And I'm glad Bill Hancock specified as he spoke into a toaster about the fact that they're getting plenty of sleep time.
Where did you get this audio?
It was literally the audio that the college football playoff sent. They should spend more money on their Zoom call and less money on the college football playoff committee search.
Plenty of sleep time, though. Good to know. 36 hours of work. They're not honestly that they're getting plenty of sleep time.
The title of my life story is Plenty of Sleep Time. The Will Bowling story. There's a picture of me with my sleeves rolled up.
You don't have to tell us you're getting plenty of sleep. We're assuming that you sleep over the course at some point over the course of 36 hours.
Look,
that's the worst part about this is that they continue to say, look, we're meeting about it. We're going to talk about it. The biggest part of this that makes me laugh the most is when they say, hey, we're going to talk to the players. We're going to let a committee that has been selected.
We're not going to pay them, but we're going to talk to them.
Yeah, though they're getting paid starting in about 12 days from now. They start getting paid. And so we're going to let them talk, but it's not like that's going to change anything. Do you really think that if the players that are selected to talk to the college football playoff, if they go in and say, look, we don't like this idea. We don't like the idea of playing football games during finals. We don't like the idea of having to focus more and traveling more during this period of time in December, that they're going to say, but it's $1.9 billion is probably what we're going to make each year on the college football playoff. But, you know, we're just not going to do it. I think that we value your opinion. No, they're not going to care.
The money they really should have saved was the, $1.5 million or $1 million they used to pay an ad company to come up with the name College Football Playoff. That's a real thing that happened 7 years ago.
Yes, it actually did. They paid a group of people, and that was the title.
And instead, they're recording this audio off of a microwave.
A potato.
A potato.
With some metal steaks, just
maybe some butter.
Get in there.
It's another good segment idea. Name the objects the college football playoff is recording their audio off. The soccer ball.
He is actually speaking into the college football playoff trophy. because
no, he's speaking apparently into the BCS trophy because that audio came out of the 90s. I was not alive by the time that audio was started to be recorded, whatever they recorded it on.
Plenty of sleep time, though.
Plenty of sleep time, and they met for 36 hours to say, "Hey, yeah, I think we should talk about this next month."
All right, when we come back, I'm finally going to get into all these games that would have decided playoff berths. Look, I am all for games later on in seasons becoming way more meaningful. From a Tennessee perspective, let's put it this way. If Tennessee has a postseason ban this year, not saying that's happening, not saying it's not happening, I think it's up in the air at this point. I think that's been the expectation by a lot of us for a long time. The biggest value in Tennessee's season at the end of the year would be trying to knock somebody out of the playoff. I mean, that was the value in the Texas A&M game last year to finish the season in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, so if Tennessee but even beats then you're A&M, reaching to find value
right,
in that
and
game.
Tennessee and A&M don't have beef, obviously. I mean, they don't. Those are two fan bases that probably couldn't be more oblivious and apathetic to the other. It's about as far away on the spectrum as you can get.
Sure.
In college football. But I'm interested to see how many of these rivalry games decide playoff berths. The Athletic had a really good piece on this where they gave a couple of different rivalry games over the past 7 years that would have decided playoff berths for either team. Like one of them making it, one of them not making it, one of them just not making it. I want to run through that list and talk about the broader concept of the regular season in college football being at its peak when this playoff starts. We'll get to that when we come back with you until 3 o'clock today on 104.5 The Zone. Will Bowling, Lucas Panzeca will keep the show going right after this. Lucas and Will on 104.5 The Zone. He is Lucas Panzeca. I am Will Bowling. And of course, the one and only Joe Hunk, pushing all the right buttons, making the show happen. We are going to quiz Joe Hunk coming up in a couple of minutes. This is Soccer 101 with Joe Hunk.
Little Gary Clark Jr. coming back, Joe.
I like it.
I love me some Gary Clark Jr.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. We are going to quiz Joe on pretty basic soccer terms and see what he thinks they mean. And we're going to give him
noted baseball guy, Joe.
Noted baseball guy, Joe Hunk. Big baseball guy.
I can explain what the baseline is between first and second base, but I cannot name a single term for soccer.
I will say you would have a harder time, a much harder time, because I've tried it, explaining baseball to somebody from a foreign country that's not familiar with baseball than you would soccer to an American who's not familiar with
soccer. What's sad is I actually once lost a trivia game because they asked a baseball question and I did not know it.
What was it?
What was it?
What is the only sport that the defense always has possession of the ball?
Baseball.
Well, and now that I've said baseball, you know the answer.
Lucas,
but,
everybody. Lucas Panzeca.
Lucas what? But at the time, I didn't know it was a baseball question. And, and so they asked the question, what's the only sport where defense always has the ball? And I'm like, I don't know. And everybody around me staring at me like,
oh, no.
Bro, you literally played this your entire life. Like, you, how, what are you? And I just went, what are y'all talking about? And when somebody said it, I went, oh my God, I feel so dumb because I never think of that.
What did you guess?
I actually went with I don't know because every sport I thought of, I never thought of the pitcher being the defense. Wow. I just thought of it as the pitcher.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. All right. Well, we're going to quiz Joe coming up in about 5 or 10 minutes. But first, Lucas, talking about the 12-team college football playoff that we now vaguely know that they're thinking about considering looking at the possibility of doing, according to the audio of Bill Hancock. I absolutely love this. I was a big proponent of 8 teams. I think, though, giving it kind of an – I know 12 is not an odd number, so but giving it an odder number just in terms of not as even, right? I mean, you have first-round buys at play. This, to me, is the perfect balance between valuing the regular season more, but also giving more teams an opportunity and trying to get ahead of the parity that is about to grow in college football because of name, image, like this and the Pandora's box that is about to open.
And it's always been flawed from the jump.
Always.
College football, because there's never been a level playing field. There's never been a foundational structure for a level playing field in college football. That's the way it is. But the most common argument I've seen against the 12-team playoff every year, right, we get Alabama and we get Clemson and we get a different variation of Ohio State or, you're right, Notre Dame or Michigan State sprinkled in there, Oklahoma, every year. And I, the most common argument I've seen against an expanded playoff is, well, we're just getting the same teams in the 14 playoff every year. To me, this should be the complete opposite. That's why you need an expanded playoff. There's more games. There's just more games. It's like the argument for there's too many bowl games. It's too many bowl games.
There are. I've never said that.
I've never understood that. It's all right. Don't watch the games.
Well, and that's what it comes down to, because for me like that, I'm a quality over quantity person.
That's fine.
And so I don't care about East Carolina taking on Virginia A&T.
That's right.
You know, and again, I don't have to. Like, I just came from a city that hosted a bowl game, and if it hadn't have been for me being in that city, but that city being Montgomery, I would have not cared one bit about the Camellia Bowl.
And that's
not
fine.
One bit.
But there are people that will watch the Camellia Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl and the Buddy Allen Carpet Bowl. I just made that up. That doesn't
exist. Look, there's a Jimmy Kimmel Bowl now, so there could be a Buddy Allen Carpet Bowl.
But in terms of
Jimmy Kimmel has a bowl now.
He does. Yes. I saw that yesterday.
So cool.
So at SoFi Stadium.
But you get the same teams every year, right? So expand the playoff. Give some teams a lifeline. Like, we've been talking about soccer. It's what we love so much about the international game. There's at least on the club level, there's always a lifeline. Promotion, relegation, there's a lifeline for clubs in the championship or in League One and League Two in England. In college football, there's no lifeline for non-Power 5 schools or for Group of 5 schools. So give them that lifeline. You're probably going to get some great good games in the process. And if the same teams end up winning and going into the Final Four, like, all right, you've got the same four that you would have had if you didn't have it previously. You just had a bunch of fun games that happened beforehand.
That's the case in the NFL now. That's every sport. You get the same Final Four most years.
Yeah, so exactly. So I would love to see a Cincinnati-Georgia playoff game where the winner gets to play, you know, Notre Dame for the chance to play Alabama or something.
The winner of that, Cincinnati-Georgia would have been a game last year.
Yep, and that was a fantastic game.
Because the winner was going to get Bama.
And that game came down to the wire, and Cincinnati nearly pulled off the upset. So I have a hard time wrapping my head around the argument. Oh, it's too many. It's too many teams. It's too many games. Like, right, don't watch the games if you don't want to, but at least give that lifeline, at least so these Group of Five programs can stop saying it's not fair. Like, okay, let's just finish the argument. There's 12 teams. You win your conference. You're in. There you go.
A 1 versus 12 is not a bad matchup. If you've got 1 versus 12 or 1 versus 11, or 2 versus 11 on a normal Saturday, that's going to be probably your marquee football game on most Saturdays. But I think the idea of this is, and the problem that I have with this whole system is not in the bye is fine. What annoys me the most is their ability to continue to want to shove the bowl games and make that a part of this, where that is the part that's the most flawed with this whole system. Because if you are one of the four best teams, you are not rewarded. You're rewarded with a bye, but you're not rewarded with a home game, where your 5 through 8 is going to be rewarded with a home game. And you get to make not only the money from the college football playoff, but you also get to get the gate money. Your city gets the money in that. So honestly, you're also hurting your 1 through 4s, which will most likely be your Alabamas, your Oklahomas, your Ohio States, your Clemsons. And those are now going to have to go, okay, so for my fan base, we have to go to the Atlanta or go to Indianapolis for our conference championship game. Then we have to go to wherever the semifinal game is going to be. And then we've got to go to wherever the cost. So you also have the potential of then adding in a fourth destination to another campus. And that's just a lot of traveling for any teams where you should be able to be rewarded with a home playoff game. Because the best thing about college football is the home atmosphere, is each individual campus.
Yeah. So a couple of games. First of all, since 2016, Alabama has played Florida twice and Clemson 4 times in the last, this is now 5 years. 4 programs combine for 20 of the 28 playoff bids over the last 7 years. 4 programs have 20 of the 28 playoff bids. The other 126 programs have combined to make 8 appearances in the college football playoff. It's a problem. So the format that is now being progressed to 8 different committees, as Bill Hancock said that we just heard, 6 highest-ranked conference champions, which means at least one team from the Group of 5 conferences will make the field every year, obviously. And then it will include 6 at-large bids in addition to that. So, games that would have decided playoff berths in the past. Auburn's 2019 Iron Bowl win. Didn't really mean anything to Auburn other than just, oh, we want to beat Alabama. Obviously, that means quite a lot. Would have knocked Alabama out of the playoffs in a 12-team format in 2019. 2020, Georgia-Florida. The winner of that game would have gone to the playoff. The loser would not have gone to the playoff. The Apple Cup in 2018, Washington State. 2015, number 11 TCU's double overtime win over number 12 Baylor. That would have decided an at-large berth. You've got rivalry games that will have an added magnitude that has never happened before, even for teams like Tennessee, who are not going to sniff the playoffs this year and probably not the next one, one after that.
It's because of bowl bans and all this other stuff that could
happen. Well, even if they could go to a bowl, which we still don't know if that's going to be the case next year.
We still have no idea what the NCAA
which
has done.
It's surprising to me, too, by the way. I know that's
about 6-7 months, yeah. Like, and it's just, you zone in on the arguments people make against it. Like, okay, one that you heard very often, expanded to 8, there's still going to be just as much debate. People are still going to argue just as much about who the seventh and eighth teams are. Expand it to 12, there's going to be just as much argument about who those last two teams will get in. But it's not, though. There's not going to be as much argument as to the number 13 team versus the number 12 team in the country, as opposed to the number 4 versus number 5 team in the country.
But there will be for the number 7 at-large team that's not going to make it, because that's still going to be selected by a committee. I mean, look, people are always going to argue. They're going to find a way to not like this.
For me, it's just the idea of the committee in general. For me, it's the idea of just the debate in general. Like I've always said, just the five Power Five winners and three Group of Five winners. Remove the debate. You win your conference, you're in. You don't win your conference, you're not in. Just take the debate out of the equation. Alabama, best team in the country. You choke against Florida in the SEC championship game. Too bad. You didn't win your conference.
And
you
remember,
don't get into the playoff.
Back in 2014, when this got started, do you think about how excited so many people were for that first Tuesday that we sat down to look at that
first show?
Mississippi
State was number one.
Yeah, Mississippi State was number one, and I think Auburn was number two. And matter of fact, they played each other that weekend.
Yeah.
And so we got all excited about it, and then after the course of the first two or three seasons of this, we started noticing this really doesn't matter. Like, because at the very last moment, being after each conference championship game, then they say all factors have been determined. Here is what they are. And some team that could have been number 7 has the ability to jump up to number 2 or 3 because they won their conference championship. And so the whole idea of this committee getting together on a week in and week out basis starting in October is really kind of asinine to a lot of people. And they get paid to do this.
Yeah, it's just TV. It's a TV ratings.
It's a TV ratings.
But at the end of the day, a 12-team playoff means more games that matter. And to me, as long as player safety is taken into account and all of those things logistically, then to me, there's no other argument.
All right. Joe, are you ready to prove your knowledge about the beautiful game? Because I'm ready. I'm looking forward to this.
I just did by talking about the college football player.
Joe Hunk, I'm going to ignore that. Joe Hunk, ladies and gentlemen, is on the hot seat. Will Bowling, Lucas Panzeca with you. Joe Hunk is ready to play Soccer 101 on 104.5 The Zone. England and Scotland are in the 34th minute right now. That doesn't matter. The listening audience, the thousands and thousands of you that are listening around Nashville right now, you don't care about that. You care about making fun of soccer. This is Joe's opportunity with his answers that I expect are not going to be very educated to prove that the listening audience as well, just like you, knows about as much as Joe Hunk does about the game of soccer. So we are going to give Joe Hunk a phrase, perhaps a word or two, and he is going to tell us what he thinks it means.
Before we get started, I just would like to say I'm actually going to be mad at myself if I know some of these. So I really seriously am.
So the winner here, it's not us. It's not Joe Hunk. It's you.
Our soccer fan audience are going to be screaming at their radio.
All right. Oh, wow. That was timed out perfectly. And we're back. All right. Here we go. Lucas. So Lucas and I are both in our 20s. Joe, you're on the hot seat. Lucas, take it away.
Pitch.
That's when the pitcher gets on the mound. That's pretty easy.
Come on. Next. Come on, Joe. Pitch.
Isn't that like kickoff? No, seriously. Isn't that like kickoff? Like, I'm actually trying on this first one.
Okay? I told you he wouldn't know it.
I know. Will, of course, like, I'm
not. He'll know that one.
I was like, surely you know what the pitch is.
No, I don't. I do not know what the pitch is. Is that not the kickoff? Just answer the question.
It's the field. It's the field.
Joe, do you have a buzzer sound back there? Please play it. Yeah.
You just did.
The pitch is the field.
I've got this one.
All right, so Joe, I guess, is going to play applause when he gets one
play
wrong.
Play the ta-da drop if you get one right, the ta-da.
A buzzer, okay, if he gets it wrong. Yeah, all right.
I see the ta-da. I found it. Okay.
The pitch, Joe, is the field. That's what they call the turf.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes, I'm Why serious. How do you not know this?
It's a very British thing,
this
Joe.
Call it the field. Gosh.
Okay. All right, first one for me. I'm going to start off easier.
Yeah, now you wait. God, okay. He really doesn't know anything.
I had some like 300 level. I'm going to build up. The 18.
Ah, got you. It's the last hole in golf.
All right, seriously.
No, seriously. Look, I'm giving you the answer that I think the answer should be, not the answer
soccer,
that is.
No, but you have to give us the answer that you think it is.
The 18, the legal age in which the guy now does not feel weird about going to a girl's house. See, Lucas laughed at that one because he knows it's true.
God.
What do you think the 18 means?
I really have that. That is the best answer. Majority, I'm not, like, if I actually knew, the pitch was the best option I had at getting one right, and it's the field for some stupid reason. I do not know. What is the
18 is the 18-yard box that is around the goal, the penalty box, as it would be. See, if I said penalty box, I feel like you would have known that.
Well, yeah. No, I would have actually thought NHL. So I do not know. Like, I have somebody I used to work with played soccer her entire life, and she just belittled me.
All right. Enough. We're the hosts of this show. I'm kidding.
No, okay.
I'm kidding.
Next.
We just have different terms. Like,
Don Davenport, who we all know is not the biggest soccer fanatic, just yes, chipped in. How do you not know
what I said? Pitch is? All right, Lucas, next phrase.
False nine.
False nine?
False nine.
It's when she's not pregnant.
Okay. What do you think? You got to give a guess for this to be good.
No, I think I just made this great. False nine, that is when the wrong nine players are out.
Okay. Hey, that was a fair shot. That was a fair shot. I will applaud the effort.
I don't know how the wrong nine players could be out there on the field.
Number nine traditionally in soccer is the striker, leading the line, the center forward. A false nine is a center forward that typically drops back further into midfield. It's the most basic way I can put it.
This is courtesy of Joe. This is courtesy of Ted Lasso. Great show on Apple TV.
Yeah, you should watch that, Joe. That'll get you into soccer.
Into touch.
Again, when you find out that she's 18.
Okay, chill. It's a family show.
Easy.
It's a family show.
Look, man. Okay, now say it one more time.
Into touch.
Into touch. When you use illegal hands.
Closer. Into touch is when you play the ball and the guy receives it instead of running with the ball and plays it into touch. It touches his foot and he keeps possession. That was a tougher one. Okay. I didn't expect you to know that one.
I've also been told that the 18 is not a common term. So
no, it is.
In the soccer world,
the 18-yard box is a very
known term. To be fair, these are all very British terms.
Yeah, seriously.
England and Scotland. Come on. Right.
Internationally, these aren't always universal.
If I go to Nashville SC, are they going to use these terms?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's why I need to know.
Advantage.
That's the team that's on offense, right?
Mm. Yeah, it's closer.
That's closer.
It's a team in possession, gets fouled, but retains possession. The referee, instead of whistling the foul, setting up a free kick, plays the advantage, allowing them to continue the attack.
This would be the equivalent of an intentional foul in basketball. Instead of calling an intentional foul, when there's like one defender left, they just let him go.
Or a delayed penalty in hockey.
Yes.
When a penalty is committed and you can keep the puck.
Well done,
there
Lucas.
We go. Okay, well done, Lucas Panzica. Understand that.
There you go.
Final one. Midfield pivot.
This is tough.
Friends reunion.
What?
Midfield pivot.
I'm going to go with when the player finds out he's going the wrong direction. And he turns at midfield and he sees his goalie.
That's probably your best guess.
That's about as close as he's been.
I mean, midfield pivot is your two midfielders in the middle of the field in a 4-2-3-1 formation.
What?
Or in a 4-3-3 formation. Your midfield pivot is your duo of midfielders in the middle of your formation.
The link between the defense and midfield.
Correct.
Okay, in my defense, and I cannot make fun of you for this, what you just described is like me last night on the Strike Zone podcast describing how you hold a baseball when it has and does not have sticky substances put on.
It's all right.
I can understand.
Joe Hunk, well done.
I can get you. Thank you.
Well done. Give yourself a ta-da.
So was that not the...
Well done.
Was the 18 answer wrong?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Just double checking.
When we come back, this circus will come to
an end. Look, 23-year-old guys know that stuff.
Let's call our shot.
Yeah, they do. We're going to call our shot when we come back for the week. If you would like to quickly call your shot, you can join us at 615-737-1045. One more segment. We'll wrap this thing up when we come. One final segment from us getting you into your weekend on 104.5 The Zone. He's Lucas Panzeca. That's Joe Hunk playing the music, pushing all the right buttons. And I will bowling. Let's go to Wayne calling in to give us his thoughts on the soccer quiz. Lucas, I'm hoping this is a positive comment and not a, oh no, why are you talking soccer? Wayne, if you want to chew us out, you now have the floor to do so.
No, man, never that. Happy Friday, fellas. I was just saying, man, that false nine, dude. She's not pregnant, my man. That's what I thought it was, bro.
See?
That's fantastic, dude. I'm going to call my shot real quick while I got the line. Man, I'm calling balls, baseball, baby. All the way. Let's go. Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too, Wayne. Thanks for the call. I'm going to call my shot as well and make a similar statement. Tennessee beats Virginia on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, Virginia just doesn't have the firepower.
No.
I don't think, to keep up.
They got a great pitcher going. Abbott is fantastic, as Chris Burke told us earlier in the show.
I just think Tennessee's bats, if it comes down to that, will overwhelm UVA, a team that I don't believe has one player that's hit over 9 home runs this season. Tennessee has four or five.
Third team in college baseball in Division I to win 6 elimination games, though, on its way to Omaha.
My shot is Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Both take game one. I think Kumar Rocker puts on a clinic against a red-hot Arizona team that doesn't really have a true ace pitcher right now. I think Vandy's lineup, which has been put into question a little bit over the last couple of weeks, I think comes through when it matters most in the first game of the College World Series. I think both get off to the start they need this weekend.
How about, this was as of 2 days ago, the Vegas odds, have y'all seen this for Arizona and Vandy, are interesting.
I've seen the one for Vandy because I think Vandy's the number one team in Vegas.
No, I just mean for Vandy, Arizona.
Oh, no, I have not.
The money line for Arizona was minus 120. Money line for Vandy, minus 105. Like, that's a little fishy.
Joe, what do you see in that game? I know you talked about this a lot in the Strike Zone podcast, but how do you see that matchup?
Also, call your shot, too, if you want to.
Yes, and my shot is actually going to be that I think Arizona is going to upset Vandy.
I thought about saying the same thing. I'm glad I didn't.
No, and the only reason I am saying that is because I think that Vandy's offense is very keen, and there's a lot of times where this offense kind of goes quiet when you will see somebody like Rocker or Leiter pitching, and I think that Arizona has a good enough offense that what I said last night in the Strike Zone podcast, which you can go watch on all of our social media feeds, is that Arizona is going to be very patient tomorrow. They're going to make Rocker get high up into his pitch count, and they're going to try to get him out in the 6th or 7th inning, and then that's when they get into that bullpen, is when they're going to be able to go for Vandy's, you know, jugular.
Right.
I think that that's what's going to happen, so I think that Arizona is going to upset Vandy in the first round. It doesn't mean that Vanderbilt's not making it to the championship. It's just going to be, I believe, that Arizona's winning that baseball game.
I honestly agree. They've got 4 dudes hitting over 464. I mean, this is a confident sport. Vandy's bats are not confident right now. Now, that's not their fault. ECU has two of the best. I mean, ECU has one of the best starting pitchers, a first-team All-American.
Oh, he was phenomenal in Nashville.
Very good. Both their pitchers really were. So it's not really Vandy's fault that their bats just aren't really firing on all cylinders right now. Without C.J. Rodriguez, their catcher, who had a really good day behind the plate and at the plate hitting for Vanderbilt, I mean, it's a lot more dramatic getting to this point.
But is this not where Kumar Rocker has been at his absolute best in these moments?
It is. And it's also where Tim Corbin's at his best midway through the season, Jack Leiter was not at his best. Jack Leiter gets a week off, And since he has come back from that week off midway through the season, he's been dynamite once again.
I think it's more about Vandy's offense than what it is about Rocker, because I think if you're Arizona, where you saw that they scored a ton of runs against Ole Miss, and obviously they
crushed them.
That was obviously going up against their number three starter, which a lot of times is not that great of a starter. It's more about Arizona's ability to score 5 and 6 runs in a ball game. And when you're going up against a Rocker, and you saw that even against East Carolina, Vanderbilt has to work very hard to push runs across sometimes. And especially in that ballpark, I don't think it's about the home runs. I don't think that you're going to see like this NC State, you know, squeaking one off the top of the wall type thing. They're a very good hitting the ball team that's going to get on base. They have a very high OBS.
Where, on that note, flipping to Sunday, where can Tennessee struggle when it comes to UVA?
It's going to be hitting. And it's crazy as that sounds. UVA has a very solid pitching staff.
Or is the stage too big? Are they playing outside of themselves a little bit in the beginning of that game?
And people forget.
Talking about Tennessee?
Yeah.
Well, in Tennessee, again, that's where this is, because right now, Vitello and everything that he's doing, everybody's like, man, I love the swagger. I love the way they came in. I love the way that they're just kind of walking around Omaha like they own it. Like, there's that. If by this time, or even Tuesday or Wednesday, if Tennessee is heading back to Knoxville, it's going to be, okay, Vitello didn't really manage this well, but he's been to the College World Series with Arkansas. He's been to the College World Series with TCU.
Yeah, he knows the stage.
This isn't the whole stage is not a big thing for him. So what I think this is it's more about the fact that there is zero players on that Tennessee team that has played in the College World Series, and this Virginia team was there 2 years ago.
And he's leaving it up to the players to manage the situation he has all season.
And that's where it is Virginia, Vanderbilt, they are treating it like a business trip because they've been here less than 2 years ago, and it is extremely hard for this to happen, and those two teams have made it commonplace to be in Omaha in June and in May.
I am headed, speaking of baseball, to Atlanta, straight from here. Why has there been traffic in Chattanooga since Jesus was a boy? That's the question I have today.
Donkeys are slow, man.
All right. Well, I should make it by the time the Braves have already given up a couple runs out of the bullpen. Yes, that means I'll be there by the third or fourth inning. Appreciate Joe Hunk making the show happen today. Appreciate Lucas Panzeca as always.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day happy to Juneteenth. Everyone. Happy Juneteenth. You'll be hearing a lot from us over the next couple of weeks. Lots of vacation, which means we get lots of more airtime. Details on that coming soon. But for Joe, for Lucas, I'm Will Bowling. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon on 104.5 The Zone.